Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by. Welcome to the conference call on the DSM 2014 Q1 results. Throughout today's presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To register for questions, you may dial star one at any time. If any participant has difficulty in hearing the conference, please press zero zero on your push-button phone. Now, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Huizing. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to this conference call on the first quarter 2014 results we published earlier this morning. Sitting here with me are Mr. Rolf-Dieter Swaalp, Chief Financial Officer and member of the DSM Managing Board, and Mr. Jos op Heij, Senior Vice President, Corporate Control and Accounting. They will elaborate on the announcement and after that, answer your questions. This call will last until 10:00. As a reminder, today's presentation may contain forward-looking statements. In that regard, I would like to direct you to the disclaimers about forward-looking statements as published in the press release. Now, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Rolf-Dieter Swaalp.
Thank you, Dave. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us this morning. Earlier today, we reported the first quarter results of 2014. We delivered results in line with expectations, both our own expectations and the market consensus. EBITDA from continuing operations amounted to 272 million euro compared to 301 million euro in the same quarter last year. This performance was delivered against significant adverse foreign currency rates. Of the 29 million euro difference with Q1 2013, about 23 million was due to currencies. As expected, Nutrition experienced in quarter one the continued impact of the market headwinds, which also affected quarter four 2013. We are pleased to report that market conditions in Nutrition began to show some signs of improvement by the end of the quarter. Our performance in quarter one demonstrates DSM's strength in Nutrition owing to our highly integrated and global business model, benefiting from the structural mega trends of health and wellness. Material Sciences was impacted by lower results in caprolactam. In Performance Materials, all business groups delivered good volume growth. We also see a more positive momentum in a number of Performance Materials end markets. Our outlook is unchanged, anticipating EBITDA improvements over the coming quarters. For 2014, DSM takes a prudent approach, assuming the unfavorable January 2014 foreign currency rates are maintained for the year. Furthermore, we assume a continued challenging macroeconomic environment with low growth in Europe, modest growth in the U.S., and a slowdown in the high-growth economies. Based on this, DSM targets for 2014 to improve its business performance to at least offset the negative currency impact of about 70 million euro at January 2014 exchange rates. With that, I want to stop my opening remarks, keep it short, and allow you even more questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will start a question and answer session now. If you have any questions, please press star one. I repeat, star one for questions. First question, Mr. James Knight on behalf of Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead, sir.
Morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my questions. I'll start with three, I think. Firstly, on vitamin E, you may be aware your main competitor signaled a bit of caution on pricing last week. Can you say the outlook comments that you've given reflect the terms of the recent contracts you've been signing? So you're beginning to see some price traction actually in your contractual activity. Secondly, on polyamide 6 and the U.S. weather, I wonder if you could, hopefully quantitatively, if not maybe qualitatively, give some impact of or an assessment of the impact in the first quarter, and perhaps more interestingly, the sort of more recent trends in the second quarter, whether that's recovered. Thirdly, and lastly for now, biomedical, weaker in the quarter. Is that phasing or are you seeing more competitive effects there? I'll stick on that. Thank you.
Okay. James, let me then tackle them all three in that sequence with starting with vitamin E. Now, vitamin E, what we see, and you find a graph in our presentation, that the spot market prices based on feedinfo which you may have seen before anyway, have started to increase, not only for E, but also for A and other vitamins, A even very strongly. This is, as we know, although we are not operating really on the spot market and also not as volatile as the spot market, but it is a good leading indicator because that gives us some good confidence in a way that we will be able to increase prices as announced to a certain extent. So vitamin E prices in the spot market are really up, and I can only refer to the graph on the in the investor presentation. Obviously, in Q1, they were clearly below average last year. So that's also what is reflected in our pricing analysis and the sales developments. But of course, in contracts, you know the story. I mean, contracts we can only renew when they when new contracts come up. So that is a bit early to say that we really see it hard in the contract signed. On polyamide 6, I can certainly not quantify it, but the U.S. weather situation, the very strong winter across large parts of the country, I mean much further south than normal, has impacted all the businesses in the U.S., also dietary supplements, nutrition, but polyamide 6 also. I mean, we had even an outage in our caprolactam factory, and connected to that, there is also an engineering plastics plant in January or late January, if I remember correctly, two outages, I think, for frost in Augusta, where they hardly know what that is normally. So it certainly has impacted all the supply chains in that period. The transportation couldn't go. I mean, factories had to close down, electricity outages. People couldn't leave homes, shop opening hours were shortened, and. So that had also an impact on our polyamide 6 business, but not only. But to quantify that, of course, that is very difficult.
Sorry, Rolf Dieter, the recent trends in PA6, are you seeing any pickup with the...
Well, we have seen, as we say, we see an improvement in some end markets and some regions, by the way, even in Europe a little bit. And also the U.S. continues to be a very good market for this industry and for that business. But, of course, the winter is behind us, so the winter consequences are over. The last question on biomedical materials, it's a small reduction. I mean, is it a trend? No, it's not a trend. I mean, our business continues to grow nicely in most areas. I mean, we talk here a development of 3 million less than last year. I would have liked 3 million plus more than 3 million lower number, but let's also face it, it's a very small part, and you have some fluctuations in that small part still. But in principle, we are confident biomedical, and that will continue to grow nicely.
Okay, thank you very much.
Next question is Evgenia Molotova on behalf of Berenberg Bank. Please go ahead.
Hello. I also had several questions. The first one is on your restructuring program in nutrition and 50 million of potential cost savings. So if you could just comment on, because you are planning to reinvest it in some growth projects, so would we expect any margin expansion coming from that or not? The second question is on your currency impact. So you said that you will try to offset impact of around 70 million. Currencies currently are worse than they were in Q1 last year, so... if the impact is higher, do you think you will still be able to offset them? And the last one is on polyamide and polymer intermediates. The impact of licensing, which was positive last year, I assume it's 6-8 million per quarter. So will it the negative impact, will it be reflected in each quarter this year?
Okay. Going in the same sequence, starting with the restructuring on nutrition. We have announced that activity already in earlier this year, and if initial announcements, but without quantifying, and we said we will do so in Q1. So this is roughly the 50 million, which we expect as a running cost reduction rate as of 2015. Part of that, we say we want to reinvest into R&D to really push further new product developments and market entries. How much will that be? We assume at the moment roughly 10 to 15 million. That would leave a net effect of maybe 35 or a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, this year we'll only see a part of that because we only started to implement that. It's difficult to say how much of the full benefit we will see this year. So you have to take a guess, but I mean, half of it maybe, but it's really a guess. We do not have exact numbers on that. Now, you have to be careful on that. Will find its way to the bottom line. You need, of course, basically every year, everywhere, and all the businesses, efficiency improvement, operational excellence, to at least offset inflation first. And only when you have done that, and you can maybe, then you can see some of the improvements to the bottom line. So how much of that will really find its way to the bottom line is difficult to say. But you can also argue the opposite. Since the inflation happens anyway, all of it will find its way to the bottom line. Because if you didn't do it, you would be worse off by the same amount.
Sure.
So it's good to do and focus on these improvements in all areas. And when it's a bigger program, we talk about restructuring. When we do the normal efficiency improvement and the normal operational excellence activities, then this is basically a permanently ongoing continuous improvement process.
Sure.
Our special announcements. Now on the currencies, yeah, that's an interesting one. Yeah, we will of course try to compensate as much of the currency worsening as possible, but we all know there's also limits, and I have no crystal ball what the exchange rates will do. I mean, let me just take as an example, what happens if the euro-dollar moves to 150? I think that kind of effect, I would be... Yeah, I would have to assume that you cannot offset that. But what can you offset? I mean, our statement is clear on the basis of the January exchange rates, and we gave you some of the rates at that time, like 136 for the US dollar average for the full year, which is more conservative than the financial market consensus at the moment. At that level, we would have a hit of 70 million, and our target is to compensate at least that 70 million. If the average of the year is 139 or 140 or 145, of course, that's different. But we don't have a crystal ball, and I can also not give you an exact number. Up to this number, we would be able to offset or try to offset, and above that, or when it's getting even worse, then it's hopeless. That is the case.
Yes, of course.
The last one on polymer intermediates, yes, we had in Q1 last year a special announcement on a rather big licensing deal with a customer, which we announced at that moment, which has impact every quarter for about 3 years. The biggest impact was in Q1 last year. In the following quarters, the impact is a little bit lower than the first quarter, and that, of course, continued also this quarter. But it is lower than Q1 last year because there we had especially high impact as we discussed a year ago. But this specific licensing deal, and we do more. I mean, we had other licensing deals in Q4. I remember we had one announced and so on. But this specific large one continues for basically another 2 years.
Thank you. And just one clarifying question on vitamin E. You were planning to have a temporary shutdown at the end of March. Did it happen?
Yeah, it's. I'm not sure it's still happening at the moment. I think it's over, but it started a bit later than originally planned.
Sure. So it will affect you too, basically.
It's behind us now.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
Next question, Mr. Rakesh Patel, on behalf of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi there. Just a couple of questions from me. First of all, I wondered if you could talk a little bit about the nutrition business insofar as, you know, you're saying that you think the headwinds have now peaked, and so actually, you know, we should see some improvement from here. So perhaps, you know, some color on how the order book is looking and what gives you the confidence to say that at this stage. And then secondly, Perhaps you can give us an update on the POET JV. I think that's due to come online soon or start to ramp up, and just some progress on there would be helpful. And then finally, always, you know, always a question, but never, you never seem to give us the answer, but I'll ask anyway, is just an update on a potential disposal of Capro. That'd be great. Thanks very much.
Okay, then let me tackle the last one first in this case, and you already said what you expect as an answer from me. I mean, our statement is unchanged. We want to reduce the exposure to the merchant market in caprolactam, and that's where we are, and further announcements when something is to be announced and not in between. So, but that's you already assumed that this would be the answer. Then on POET, on the joint venture with POET to build the cellulosic bioethanol plant in Iowa. This is in the final stages. Opening startup is expected end of Q2, so late June, and that's what is also unchanged to the past. I mean, so no news there. Then on the nutrition, the first question: what signs do we have? What is the visibility to make our statement strong that we think that the headwinds might have peaked? Now, obviously, let me first say, I mean, one of the headwinds, which not only is nutrition, which we discussed already, is the currencies. For that, we cannot say that. Let's be clear on that one. So let's talk on the nutrition-specific headwinds. There we had discussed mainly three in the last four in the last quarter. One was the vitamin E pricing. If you look at the, and we had that discussion already on the James earlier, the vitamin E pricing, the spot prices based on feed info public data have already increased quite a bit in the last weeks. And that seems to be a good indicator that also prices in our contracts with our customers have a good chance. And that's what we are pushing to increase in the coming period. Then the second one was the dietary supplements, general topics we discussed in January and February, which intensified as a headwind when the story was published about enough is enough in taking supplements doesn't contribute if you have enough of all the vitamins and the omegas and so on. Now, these kinds of stories we had already said earlier, of course, there are many others which are talking about the health benefits of certain ingredients and supplements. They also continue to come, but also these other stories, the more negative one or challenging ones, they tend to kind of phase out in the perception of the public and reduce in the purchasing of the consumers, come back to old habits after 2 to 3 months. But we should not forget one other thing which happened also very strongly, we discussed that also earlier, is the U.S. weather. Winter season was extremely harsh and negative with all the consequences, which also impacted dietary supplement business. I mean, that part at least, normally I would say it is clearly behind us. We are now in May. For the rest, on the dietary supplement markets, what gives us more confidence for the future is also the real market research data, which we have, IRI data, where we have monthly information, which shows in the last reported data that the decline in most supplements and ingredients has stopped and the markets are stable again. This is one of the clear signs on specifically omega-3, which was the third topic we discussed last year already and earlier this year. We have not seen yet that the omega-3 prices come down, the fish oil prices come down, so also the prices in the markets continue to be high, but we dare take a lot of action, both our customers and we together with the customers in creating different offerings to come down in prices per offering, but also in to revitalize the market as a whole. And there we still, I think, look also more forward that the market will improve in the future and come back to normal levels, which we expect. That's maybe the most important topics there. So some clear signs, and that's why we said that the headwinds seem to have peaked in Q1. With the exception of the currency, where we obviously This is not in our control, and we see at the moment an even stronger euro.
That's very helpful. Thank you very much.
Next question, Mr. Andreas Heine from Barclays. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning. I'd like also to start with vitamin E. You have shown the graph with the spot prices. How sure can you be that this price increase in vitamin E was not only caused by the force majeure at BASF and will last? And secondly, again, on vitamins, could you describe a little bit what's going on in the total vitamin business of DSM? So vitamin E is probably or most likely the most important for you, but what are the trends of the other vitamin business? And if you take the total vitamin business of DSM and compared 2014 to 2013, how would you describe this? In dietary supplements, as the impact of the low demand started in Q4, I think quite a bit of the decline you have seen in the first quarter was destocking, so that your customers had destocked and were not buying. Can it be that, let's say, the end markets have already recovered and that you are only confronted with this destocking issue? And maybe only related to this is what you talk about stabilizing. Is that a description of months on months, or is it a description year on year? And last but not least, on FX, could you tell us what the FX impact in nutrition was? So 23 it was for the group, I guess most of that in nutrition. Could you give a number for nutrition alone? Thanks.
Yeah, vitamin E then first. That is very difficult to say. I mean, we see in the spot market that the price is increased now. Whether that force majeure has an impact, yes or no, that is very difficult to say. I mean, the fact is, it is what it is, and that's what we try to push also, because we made a price increase announcement. We made clear that we really want to implement that and push for it, and that obviously has also its impact. But I cannot now analyze this spot market price increase and say so much is for that reason and so much is for another reason. If I look at the total vitamin business, I mean, first of all, remind you that the importance of vitamins overall for our nutrition sales has come down over the last years. So it is still, of course, a very important part of nutrition business, but it is not like 70-80% anymore. We talked about less than 40% in recent announcements. Now, if you look at feed info on the price side, as you see also in other vitamins, if I take, for example, a very, very, very strong case, vitamin A, also on spot market, the price has moved up substantially in the recent past. So that is also good signs, and you can check the rest also. So overall, there seems to be a trend that some of these prices really go strongly up, and we try to implement that also with our customers, where we, of course, have contracts and we have usually a time delay. But this is what I can say on overall vitamin business. On dietary supplements, yeah, destocking, I mean, obviously, When the challenging story came, then customers stopped ordering or canceled even orders. But then the winter season and also had to buy a destocking effect, which was basically unintended. Because, I mean, if the trucks cannot drive anymore and the transport system, the supply chain breaks down, then you have an unintended destocking and restocking later, hopefully. And that's what you normally see. The IRI market data, I mean, this is a real data in the shop, so consumer data. This is not about the destocking restocking of our customers. This is really the consumer at the end. Of course, mm-hmm. The consumer, you could also argue they also have stocks, but I don't think that anybody has that insight exactly how that works, depending on individual behaviors. But the market data really says stabilizing month on month, basically. I mean, if you compare versus a year ago, then many of these supplements are still lower. But month on month, it's stabilizing. It's not going further down. Mm-hmm. On the currency exchange rates, that I cannot give you an exact number. As a rule of thumb, we tend to work with roughly two-thirds or so of our total currency impact is in nutrition, But this can, of course, also be different in certain quarters, depending on which currencies and which countries have a stronger impact or a smaller impact, and then depending on country mix. And the country mix of our sales in nutrition is not the same as in materials. I mean, that is quite different. So it can also be different from that rule of thumb. But if that helps you, use the same rule of thumb.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Next question, Mr. Martin Rüdiger from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thanks. I have basically two questions. First is on your chemical activities. You mentioned the positive momentum in performance materials. Is that across the board for all product lines? And in this regard, switching to polymer intermediates, what did you see here in terms of the momentum in the first quarter? The second question is on the financial result, which was relatively favorable in Q1 with minus 23 million. You mentioned a positive hedge result. Can you quantify this, and what is a good run rate for financial result going forward in the next couple of quarters? Thanks.
Okay. On performance materials, we talk about positive momentum on some end markets, and we also say clearly in the press release that we had good volume growth in all segments, I mean in resins, in Dyneema, and in engineering plastics. What is also maybe worth noting that the end markets even in Europe showed a little bit positive signs. I mean, I don't want to exaggerate. We have an assumption of low growth, GDP growth in Europe, as most companies and market players take the assumption for this year, and we do the same. We saw a little bit of that in Europe also. So, of course, also the U.S. bad weather, winter weather, did also impact the performance materials in that region. That is clear. We discussed that earlier. So this, I think, is what we can say here. On polymer intermediates, yeah, you see the results. I mean, the results continue to be low. We have the same issue on supply and demand with price pressure on caprolactam and benzene does not go down massively, so that doesn't help. So not much more to be said. I mean, the demand is there. I mean, I would say normal. There's nothing special I can report there.
So no, there is no, let's say, momentum that, for example, March was better than February, and the momentum into April is showing some uptick in demand?
I don't see that, but that's not what I hear. I think it's basically a flat or normal growth as we usually have it along GDP more or less, but nothing special. But this is also not the way normally we look at the whole polymer intermediates business. I mean, it's much more depending on the price levels and the benzene input cost on caprolactam. That defines the margin, and that is, we cannot comment it better than it is. I mean, it is not a very nice period to be in. On the financial result, yes, it has been better because of some positive hedge results than last year. For the full year, basically, we look forward to a financial result of about 110, maybe 120 million negative, so slightly better than last year. So in this sense, Q1 was a bit better than the average for the full year, what we would expect. But of course, the like hedge results, this depends so much on the currencies that you can also very only difficult, it's difficult to predict exactly what it will be at the end.
Thank you.
Next question, Ms. Carol Chan from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yep.
Hi, sorry, it's Joe Dewhurst here. I've got three questions. On the supplements market in the US, in particular with omega-3, are there things that you can do essentially, I don't know, through sort of targeted marketing, publicity kind of campaigns to try and sort of turn, I guess, some of the mood around, given that a lot of it's already been created by press there in the first place? And then also just on your nutrition optimization program that you've given us a slide on. If there's any more details there, are you planning to look at things like streamlining IT, for example, doing some supply chain optimization kind of work and looking at the portfolio. And then just finally, on the assumptions for this year, how much are you assuming for contribution from M&A in your EBITDA target?
Well, let me say something on the last one first. M&A, we have clearly said already for 2 years now almost that we are not looking forward to large M&A at the moment. The focus of the company is, and especially also nutrition, on implementing what has been acquired, integrations, synergies, and so on, operational excellence in all these companies and places. And that is the focus at the moment, and not further large M&A.
It's just so the because you announced potentially there might be the Elland, so the small ones, you know, vitamin C, and so you know it's whether it's I don't know 10 or 20 million kind of level.
Yeah. Okay. Let me first say we had to make this press release because there was a rumor, and Dutch law says when a rumor is there, which might be share price sensitive, and it's true, you have to confirm it. That's why we made it, which is quite unusual. But it's still early moments because the only thing which we disclosed at that moment, which was the case, was the exclusive discussions with the company. Now, we will not comment further on that process, but that can take until the end of the year easily. So that I would certainly not quantify it at all. So the only thing which I can really state as M&A effect this year, and that already happened in Q1, is the extra quarter of Tortuga, because Tortuga we acquired April last year, closing at least was beginning April last year, so Q1 was not in last year, but in this year, and we quantified that in the press release as 10 million. So that's the only M&A effect to be mentioned at the moment for the full year, so it's a rather minor one.
Okay.
On the DNP restructuring, nutrition restructuring, yes, we did announce that already in January, February. We talk about some back office restructuring in Switzerland. We talk about partly still integration with acquisitions driven restructuring in R&D to focus on certain sites, because with some of the acquisitions we also acquired new sites for R&D, and that can be reorganized and streamlined. That is in process. That is the main project. But of course, we have from the earlier announced profit improvement program, we have a couple of global corporate driven projects which also impact nutrition, like the concentration of our finance and accounting activities in a back office in India with front offices in the continents. We do projects in IT globally, in HR. So all of these, which are driven by centrally across the whole company, impact not only nutrition, the rest of the company also, but also nutrition. And as you also know, in nutrition specifically, we want to reinvest some of the benefits into R&D to further improve our innovation output. My last comment on the dietary supplements and specifically the omega-3. Yes, we are actually working on actions and campaigns to promote omega-3. Further, we are working together with the industry and the retailers to provide leadership through an industry campaign and activation activities in retail. And we expect to launch that campaign early in second half year. So it's still in preparation. But this, we, of course, take our own initiatives and activities to help the markets also.
Thank you very much.
Next question, Mr. Patrick Lambert from Nomura. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good morning. I have a few questions, actually. The first one regarding Tortuga contribution. I think I was expecting higher than that. Maybe it's me, maybe it's the market. Can you comment a little bit on why you get, I think it was 64 million euros, and what's happening in Tortuga micro elements? First question. Second question, again, the innovation EBITDA, I think you guided for flattish loss in EBITDA for 2014 on innovation. But can you comment a little bit on how POET DSM contribution can change that, or at least the contribution you expect from the last end of the year on POET DSM? That's question number two. FX again? I think there's a lot of questions about FX, but the from my calculation, the biggest impact will be in Q2, but there will still be lingering effect in Q3. Is that the right way of spreading the 70 million as far as you have planned so far on your on your numbers? Question number three. Question number four. Can you comment a little bit on Aquanitrol, how it was doing this quarter? And I think that's about it yet for the moment. Thanks.
Okay. Then I go in your sequence also and start with Tortuga. Tortuga, 64 million sales, 10 million EBITDA. Basically, the Tortuga integration and streamlining is going very well as planned. The business is developing nicely. I may need to remind you that we discussed earlier that Q4 and Q1 are the low season quarters of Tortuga, while Q2 and Q3 are high season quarters. So Tortuga has a clear seasonality, which has to do with the quality of the pasture in Brazil, where the pasture-raised cattle get the Tortuga ingredients to supplement the normal feed outside. And that is depending on rainy season or more dry season. So it's going very well with Tortuga, as expected, integration going well, streamlining of the business, combining it with our own. So nothing to remark, especially. So.
And going forward, when you get more geographical spread for Tortuga, you will have less of a seasonality. Is that the way to see it also?
That is possible, but let's be careful. I mean, of course, that is a driver on the synergy side, but we know that these things take time.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, when you sell the Tortuga materials, say, in Northern Hemisphere, you have a different seasonality likely. That is possible, but that's too early to say at the moment. On the Innovation Center result, I'm not sure what your understanding was of what we guided for, because I don't think we guided exactly for anything, except that we said, of course, the biomedical material business, that is the real business currently in Innovation Center, that is improving, growing nicely and fine. I mean, for Q1 we had a slight lower sales, but we discussed that earlier, but this is going well. Then we have, of course, in Innovation Center, lots of investment areas. So basically, our result is also more or less as expected. I would not see any difference there. We have.
So for the full year, you don't want to guide a little bit more precisely?
We don't want to go in our guidance with numbers per segment. Now, but you asked also whether POET might influence that. I mean, first of all, POET is a 50-50 joint venture, so it's not consolidated. That's one statement.
Mm-hmm.
POET as such, not helping the Innovation Center result, but POET as such, as I said, the ethanol plant will start up end of this quarter. So we expect a rather smooth startup. And then, of course, we will have some sales of ethanol during the year, but the sales and the profit of that will be very, very small this year. But in any case, because of deconsolidation, it will not impact the Innovation Center result. Then on the currency, on the quarters, I think we helped you there if you have a chance to look at the presentation. Because there we have a slide where we indicate roughly, assuming our assumption, I mean average for the year, January exchange rates, how those would impact the coming quarters. And you see on that slide in the investment page 25, which is on the website, that Q1 and Q2 have the highest impact, and Q3 and Q4 the impact, assuming the average of January is really the average also in every quarter. So there's a lot of assumptions behind that. Will come down because obviously the euro already strengthened in the second half of last year. But this is all behind with assumptions like that behind. And we also on that slide that the impact comes from three parts. One is hedge exchange rates are, of course, worse than we hedged last year.
That is a fixed number. That is not even a function. That is a hard number, which is total year roughly 25 million. So to equal per quarter. That is roughly 6 million a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the non-hedged part. That, of course, depends on the exchange rate comparison this year versus last year. And you finally have the translation effect of earnings in foreign currencies into euro. That follows the same pattern. So that's all I can say. But, of course, it is on the assumption that our January assumption for average year, if that was true. But, I mean, so far... Of course, it will deviate.
No, it's just I was asking the question because my Q2 is actually higher than Q1 at current FX. I don't know if you
also the current exchange rates are worse than our assumptions in January. Our assumptions for this year are still more conservative than the general market consensus, which seems to believe that the US dollar will strengthen towards the end of the year. So, to market consensus, we are more conservative, but today, our assumption of January was a bit optimistic.
Yeah, okay, understood.
And acrylonitrile, nothing special to remark. It's a stable, good business in polymer intermediates. No remarks I could make there.
Good.
Question, Mr. Sachin Soni, on behalf of Kempen & Co. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. My question is regarding your own assumptions in terms of positive or negative surprises. If you look at the whole business now, after two quarters of post-slow phase, where do you see, apart from currency, the biggest impact which could positively or negatively surprise you in coming three quarters?
That's a very general and not easy to answer question. I mean, we have to discuss really business by business there. I mean, we have our own plans. We discussed already initiatives we are taking in nutrition on the restructuring side, but also on the market revitalization side of omega-3 on an earlier question. We discussed already the pricing on some of the vitamins as it looks now based on spot prices. If take that as a kind of basis for more positive stance for the coming period as we want to implement our price increases. So we discussed a lot of that already in nutrition. Also, of course, the first quarter was dampened by the winter in the U.S. We discussed that. That obviously will not happen in the next two quarters. So a lot of these things we discussed already on performance materials. I think the main question is GDP developments. We publish our assumption that we say basically Europe, we expect small growth, and we saw some signs in Q1 on Europe. In performance materials of improvement. We had good volume growth in all three business groups there across the world, although they were also impacted at least partly by the winter in the United States. Then, of course, the GDP assumption for the U.S. is a bit more positive than Europe, and for the high-growth economies, still much higher growth rates, although they seem to come down versus the last years. So, and that will drive to a certain extent next to our own activities like innovation, new products launched in the materials segment will also drive the business. Now on polymer intermediates, we do not see any sign at the moment that the basic demand supply situation will change for caprolactam, and that is also what we take for the rest of the year. Now, the price development of, say, benzene as input and caprolactam prices as such is very difficult to predict. If the supply-demand doesn't change, we would not assume that caprolactam prices go up substantially, but benzene is more difficult to predict and creates also uncertainty there. On DIC, or the Innovation Center, and the corporate activities and financial expense, as we discussed earlier and gave some guidance, it's rather more stable for the rest of the year.
Great. And one more specific question.
Well, a positive surprise would be, of course, if the euro would weaken substantially and the US dollar would strengthen, then, of course, that would help substantially. We know that, and you can calculate the sensitivity.
That's clear. Currency part is very clear. The specific question on working capital, I know you flagged already that it's very difficult to manage quarter to quarter, but what is the target rate for next 2 years where you can achieve, and you see, given the conditions now, business conditions now, is realistic? Because below 20% seems a bit unrealistic.
Well, it depends on really quarter by quarter. In quarter one, we saw the typical quarter one development, which is to a large extent driven by higher receivables coming from higher business activity in March compared to December. Which we will see every year. I don't think that March will be lower than December in the future. That will always be the case. We have then, of course, in the supply chain part, in inventories, we have a lot of incidentals sometimes. So, for example, if the vitamin E plant shutdown is planned for early April, then you build up stocks in March. If you have a maintenance shutdown for a caprolactam facility, you do the same. So these also drive the inventories. Our target for the year is still to be around 20, maybe slightly above 20% of sales, as we had it last year. So as average for DSM, but I want to remind you that this average is very, very mix sensitive. We gave you some insight there in one of the capital market days in the last 2 years, where we showed you in detail how the levels are very different between, for example, polymer intermediates, clearly below 10% of sales, and nutrition around 30% of sales. So if you have more nutrition and less polymer intermediates, the average for DSM goes up, and vice versa. So that, of course, is very sensitive to this. But overall, March is typically the highest, and December is the lowest working capital. But we also push, as of this year, and incentivize the people around the company who are responsible for working capital, not only on year-end number, but also on 12-month average number.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Next question, Mr. Oliver Reif, Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi there. Please, could you give an update on Hyxin's progress, the potential new entrant for vitamin E? And my second question is on just if there are any other competitor capacity expansion plans you can see for other active ingredients in nutrition. Thanks a lot.
Well, to my knowledge, there's no progress on Hyxin as a potential new entrant. So still nothing going on there. On other new capacity, I am also not aware of any sizable investments. I look a bit at Dave not to my knowledge. I mean, you know that we build a new factory on vitamin, what is it, B6?
In China.
But not as a new, as an additional capacity, but to replace an old capacity. And we have seen that also with other players who had to replace outdated old factories by new ones. Yeah, of course, with new ones, sometimes there is a small additional capacity coming with it. But I'm not aware of any sizable investments in large new capacity on active ingredients there.
Yeah, correct.
Thanks very much.
Next question, Mr. Mutlu Gundogan from ABN AMRO. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning. Three questions. First, on the outlook, I was wondering why you have based your outlook on the January exchange rates. And what would that outlook be if you used today's rates and assume them fixed going forward? The second question is on Tortuga. I'm a little bit puzzled, actually, by your answer, Rolf Dieter, because if I look at the EBITDA in the last 12 months, that is 52 million. And if I look at the press release back in 2012, you were talking about an expected EBITDA of 60 million in 2012. So that is a decline of 13% since then. So I'm surprised that you say that is going according to plan. So why are earnings down so much? And do you still expect a sales growth between 7 and 10%? Because revenues also seem flat, actually, since then. And then finally, on MarTech, if I'm not mistaken, this year the most important patents will expire. And I was wondering how you see that impacting your business and what you are doing to offset that. Thank you.
Okay. Outlook and currency. Yeah, why did we take January? I mean, I think the simple answer is we did not yet see a reason to really change the averages for the year. Although Q1 was slightly worse. I mean, the average US dollar rate for Q1 was 137. We took 136 in January, as you remember. So we did not see a reason to change the average because, as I said earlier, it's still more conservative than what the financial institutions' consensus is for exchange rates. So that's why we did it, so keep it also simple. Obviously, if you say today we are close to 139 or 138, that is 2-3 cents worse for the dollar, but you have, of course, numerous other currencies which play a role. I come back to that. Then you would have a different effect than 70 million if that was the average for the year. But that would just be another assumption. The impact of 138 or 9 as the average versus 136, I mean, we gave you all the sensitivities in the past for the full company and the full portfolio of all exchange rates which have an impact on our results is certainly higher than 70 million, maybe 20, 30 million more. Now, we kept our outlook statement unchanged that the business plan we have, the operational drive, the push we have is the target to compensate at least 70 million on the assumption of January. That's all I can repeat, so no change to that statement. But of course, if you take different currency assumptions, and we discussed that on an earlier question already quite in detail, you come to different impacts, and then also the question is if the impact becomes 150 or 200 million, you most likely cannot offset it anymore. But where exactly the boundary is, I cannot tell you. I mean, we try to do our operational work. We cannot influence the currency and deliver the best we can for the company. On Tortuga, and that brings me directly back to exchange rates, because when we published the Tortuga announcement, I didn't do it because I didn't know you would ask the question, but I think you can do it yourself, the math. What the Brazilian real was in August 2012 when we made this announcement, and what the exchange rate to the euro was now, is now. I mean, this is a tremendous impact. And that is, that's why I still make the statement, Tortuga in local currency is absolutely in line with expectations or better. Now, the currency again, which we cannot influence in translation to euro, both sales and profits, has a tremendous impact. That's why the euro numbers for you look disappointing. But the real business in Brazil and a few neighboring countries is nothing to be disappointed about. But I don't have access now quickly to the numbers. You can do the exercise yourself, any one of you. Last on MarTech, yes, we announced the rich, when we made the MarTech acquisition that a number of patents around omega-6 specifically would expire in the coming years, I think even until early 20s. So whether 2014 is now the year with the biggest impact, I don't know. It's spread over, since acquisition, over around 10 years where the patents would expire, which existed at that time. We continue, of course, to work on that to improve, to reduce the cost, to compensate for some price concessions we had to make, or even the previous owners had to make already, the previous management. And it's, I can only say that on the development of infant nutrition, we have absolutely nothing to complain. It's going very well and really fulfilling all expectations.
Yeah,
I think
we're exactly
okay, Dave.
So maybe you can make a final
remark. Oh yeah, then we have to stop. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I hope we gave you enough insight on all your questions. I mean, what we do is we maintain our focus on the operational performance of the business. You know that we are not going for large acquisitions. And continue to focus on the profit improvement programs, our initiatives on profitability protection and improving cash flow, improving working capital, and also confirm our outlook based on what we discussed earlier. So with that remark, I want to close the call and thank you all for participating.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the DSM Q1 conference call. Thank you for attending. You can disconnect your line now. I have a nice day. Thank you.